Press TV headlines, Israel says it has no plans to extend its settlement freeze on occupied Palestinian lands. Tens of thousands take to the streets of Berlin to condemn Germany's nuclear policies. And also this hour, three more U.S.-led soldiers die in Afghanistan as the country holds elections.
It is 2:30 a.m. here in the Iranian capital, Tehran. This is Press TV's World News.
Many thanks for joining us this hour. Well, Israeli Foreign Minister Avigdor Lieberman says there is no chance of extending Tel Aviv's partial settlement freeze. Lieberman has told his British counterpart that direct talks with the Palestinian Authority include no prior conditions regarding the future of the freeze. He has also described the PA's call for the extension of the settlement building freeze as, quote, an excuse for the failure of negotiations. Acting Palestinian Authority Chief Mahmoud Abbas earlier threatened to pull out of the talks unless Israel halts all settlement activity on occupied Palestinian lands. Tel Aviv's 10-month temporary settlement freeze in the occupied West Bank will expire late September.
Meanwhile, tens of thousands of people have surrounded the German Chancellor's office in Berlin. They're protesting against her government's extension of the lifespan of the country's nuclear power plants. The protesters called on the government to stop the move, waving flags and banners reading "Shut down the government now." They warned against the dangers of nuclear energy. The protest comes after the government's recent decision to extend the lifespan of Germany's nuclear power plants by 12 years. The government scrapped plans to close down the country's nuclear reactors by 2021 in August. A recent poll shows that most Germans oppose the decision. Nuclear energy has been unpopular among Germans since the Chernobyl disaster over two decades ago.
Three more U.S.-led foreign forces have been killed in separate incidents in Afghanistan. NATO says two of them lost their lives in the south of the country. One of them was killed in a bombing on Friday, and the other died due to a non-battle injury. The Western Military Alliance says the third trooper was slain in a militant attack in the country's east. NATO has withheld other details about the incidents. The deaths bring the number of U.S.-led foreign forces killed in Afghanistan so far this year to 512.
Meanwhile, vote counting is ongoing in Afghanistan after parliamentary elections. Officials say the turnout is estimated to be around 40%. About 2,500 candidates are contesting 249 seats in the parliament. The Afghan Election Commission declared the elections as successful. This while there are reports of voting irregularities. The election has also been marred by violence in some parts of Afghanistan. Rocket and bomb attacks have killed over a dozen people. Final results are expected in late October.
More than 2,500 candidates are competing for 249 seats in Afghanistan's Walisi Jirga, or lower house of parliament, amid violence and Taliban threats. However, Taliban threats have cut no ice with Afghans who want to change the future of their country. President Hamid Karzai was the first to vote at a special designated polling station next to his presidential palace. While casting his ballot, Afghan President Hamid Karzai urged citizens to go to the polls to take the country forward. Security was extremely tight, and ordinary voters were banned from entering the polling station when President Karzai was placing his vote. However, as the president would admit, there is fear that Taliban threats will impact the elections. The Taliban have been quick to incite fear and make their presence known. Shortly before the polls opened, a rocket fired by the Taliban landed near NATO headquarters here in Kabul. The attack has prompted security forces across the city to be on high alert. Two roadside bombs have also exploded in the eastern city of Jalalabad. Afghan officials said there were no casualties in any of these incidents. However, security has been less tight in the eastern and northern parts of Afghanistan. Despite the deployment of hundreds of Afghan and NATO-led coalition forces, Afghan election officials announced earlier this week that more than 1,000 polling centers out of more than 6,800 would be closed, citing security concerns.
I think, among other things, the recent armed attack on the polling station could have contributed to the low turnout of the voters to the polling stations.
The Taliban considered the election here in Afghanistan as a tool of U.S. occupation. President Karzai also conceded that there would be irregularities. Last year's presidential election was tarnished by fraud and corruption. This voter in Kabul is alleging fraud. After tipping his finger in what was supposed to be indelible ink, he managed to wipe it off right after he voted. Now he's not convinced that it is a transparent poll.
We thought that this is a free and fair election, but that was not the case at all. Look at this ink. It cleans in a minute.
The Electoral Complaints Commission was reporting widespread complaints from across the country. An ECC representative has said police had arrested people carrying fake voting cards in some neighborhoods. Afghan election officials have said it will take at least a month before final results of the elections are announced.
It's all nothing, experts say, but an exercise of so-called democracy in this country. And after a fraud-ridden presidential election last year that threatened to undermine President Karzai's legitimacy, and the U.S. claimed that it supports democracy here, this parliamentary election is being watched very closely as a test of whether the Afghan government and the international community is serious about reform. Faiz Khurshid, Press TV, Kabul.
Elsewhere, Amnesty International has called on Indian authorities to take immediate steps to prevent more deaths in Kashmir.
Street protests and crackdowns since early June have left more than 100 people dead in the Indian-controlled Himalayan region. Now, the London-based rights group has urged New Delhi to order security forces not to use firearms against demonstrators. Protests have been held in Kashmir almost every day for the past 3 months after a tear gas shell fired by police killed a teenager. The protesters accused security forces of using live bullets. They are also protesting around-the-clock curfew that's been in place for about a week now. Residents complain that they're running out of food due to the curfew.
You're watching the World News here on Press TV. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. Israel says it has no plans to extend its settlement freeze on occupied Palestinian lands. Tens of thousands take to the streets of Berlin to condemn Germany's nuclear policies. And three more U.S.-led soldiers die in Afghanistan as the country holds elections.
Well, in the next half of the bulletin right here on Press TV, we'll bring you more from Rome as festivities are underway 140 years after the city was given the status of the Italian capital. Don't go away.
Thousands of people in London have marched towards 10 Downing Street, this to protest against the Pope's state visit to Britain. The protesters expressed anger at the Vatican's response to clerical sex abuse scandals. The demonstration in London was the biggest protest against the pontiff in his five-year papacy. Pope Benedict XVI has already apologized to abuse victims during his state visit. He has condemned, quote, the unspeakable crimes committed by pedophile priests. He says they brought shame and humiliation on the Catholic Church and caused immense suffering.
Here too, I think of the immense suffering caused by the abuse of children, especially within the Church. By her ministers.
Pope Benedict XVI apologizing to victims of sexual abuse by his church's clergymen. He expressed his immense sorrow for the immense suffering of children abused by Catholic priests. But that was not enough to prevent thousands of Londoners from taking to the streets to say nope to the Pope.
This is
Organizers have planned the mass protests and registered volunteers during the past several weeks through this website, Protest the Pope. Scores of groups and organizations have joined the rally. Many want to voice their anger about the sex abuse scandals involving the Catholic Church, while others criticize the Church's policies on abortion and birth control. Following a march through London, the protests will culminate outside number 10 Downing Street. The Pope has been trying to restore faith in his church by visiting countries most hit by a recent wave of abuse scandals involving Catholic priests. But the issue has reignited with the recent revelations in Belgium of hundreds of new victims. There are even reports saying that at least 13 of the victims committed suicide. Although the Pope met with sex abuse victims in Britain, and although he made public apologies to those affected, many say the church is not doing enough to stop the offenders and bring those in charge to justice.
The Pope has yet again apologized for the child sex abuse scandal, but yet again he has apologized for the failings of others and never for his own personal failings. You know, he is not willing to take responsibility for the fact that he knew about this sex abuse many, many years ago. And even today, he is refusing to open up the Vatican sex abuse files and hand them over to the relevant police forces worldwide. That makes him an accomplice to sex crimes against children, and such a person should not be honoured with a state visit to Britain.
European Roma rights groups have threatened to take legal action against France over its expulsion of hundreds of Roma gypsies. A local wing of a Romani union in Spain says it will take the case to the European Court of Justice in Luxembourg. In a statement, the group also criticized European leaders for what it called lacking courage to go against the French president, Nicolas Sarkozy. The statement described the move by France as racist, anti-constitutional, and inhumane. Meanwhile, a dozen of Roma organizations in Bulgaria have delivered a joint letter to Sarkozy. The letter handed over to the French embassy in Sofia has urged Sarkozy to reverse his expulsion order. Over 1,000 Roma gypsies have been expelled from France since July.
Celebration in the biggest Roma neighborhood in Sofia on Saturday afternoon. But just a few kilometers away in the city center, Roma citizens from all over the country gathered outside the French embassy to protest the recent expulsion of Romanian and Bulgarian gypsies from France. Over the past few weeks, about 1,000 Romanian and 40 Bulgarian Roma have been deported.
They went there to work. They are not thieves. They are honest people. They just want to work because they can't do that here.
The majority of the Roma in Bulgaria are unemployed. Only 6% of them graduate from high school. Most of them live in segregation. France says it deported the Roma because the camps they were living in had appalling conditions and high crime rates, threatening national security and public health. Some critics argue the French president, Nicolas Sarkozy, is just trying to boost his flagging ratings. Analysts point out that the French move violates the European Convention of Human Rights, which prohibits collective expulsions of aliens.
There are also other laws that are violated, and more specifically the Directive 2004. 38 of the European Parliament and the Council, which provides for guarantees against arbitrary expulsions and expulsions based on no clear reasoning that are not substantiated by reasons related to public security, public order or public health.
Protesters insisted that deportations should only happen on a case-by-case basis after detailed investigation. They've written a letter to Sarkozy demanding an immediate suspension to this kind of systematic expulsion. Last year, France sent back about 10,000 Roma from Bulgaria and Romania. Europe should not look at the Roma as a source of problems, but should rather appreciate their potential to contribute to society. That's what the protesters here are saying. But in Central and Eastern European countries, which have sizable Roma populations, the social exclusion of the gypsies remains a problem. And this is expected to become an even bigger issue for the EU after the bloc is joined by countries like Serbia and Macedonia, which are also home to Roma minorities. Yilda Sarakova, Press TV, Sofia.
Well, Swedes will go to the polls on Sunday to choose the country's next government. On the final day of campaigning on Saturday, immigration was the hot issue among the candidates. Far-right Democrats, led by Jimmy Åkesson, demand sharp cuts to immigration.
And when we have such a huge immigration as we have had in Sweden in recent years, you can also see a segregation that comes out of it. And we think it's very important to keep the side together and to keep the immigration as low as we can handle in Sweden, because society hasn't been able to cope with a huge immigration.
However, surveys show voters are more concerned about unemployment, economy and environment than immigration. Opinion polls indicate Prime Minister Fredrik Reinfeldt's coalition will maintain its lead by winning 183 out of 349 seats in the parliament. The opposition Red-Green coalition, spearheaded by the Social Democrats, is expected to get 166 seats. Other polls show the Democrats will not pass the 4% barrier. Premier Reinfeldt has praised his government's record in the past 4 years.
People have seen that we have taken care of Sweden very responsibly when it comes to keeping the country together, when it comes to keeping our economy together. It's a big difference when you look at the performance of the Swedish economy and compare it with a lot of other countries throughout Europe.
Rome's history as the capital of Italy began some 140 years ago this month. For the next few days, festivities will be held to commemorate the city's past and look forward to its future endeavors. Press TV's Christine Lagola attended the opening event in Rome.
140 years as a capital city deserves a grand celebration. For the next 3 days in Rome, that's exactly what is planned. Concerts, exhibitions, plays and conferences will be held throughout the city. Many opportunities to revisit Rome's history, say organizers, but also to strengthen Italian identity and culture.
It's important to celebrate because we need to reinforce the city's central role in Italy, since there is a tendency to diminish its value. We also need to stress the importance of our history to unite Italians as a people.
A history which all began some 140 years ago with the help of the Bersaglieri. The high mobility infantry unit of the Italian army created in 1836 played a significant role in freeing Rome from the Pope's control. It was in this very location on September 20th, 1870 that the Italian army breached this doorway called Porta Pia to gain possession of Rome. Having defeated the Pope's troops, the city gained independence, shortly after received Italian capital city status, and this street changed its name to September 20th in memory of Italy's unification. And for the first time ever, the Vatican took part in Italian festivities that highlighted the defeat of papal power. The president of the Pontifical Council for Cultural Relations believes this is a positive step towards a more solid collaboration in the future.
I think it is a good idea. It should be considered as an opportunity for dialogue between church and state, without crossing lines, because as we read in the Gospel, it is important to give Caesar what belongs to Caesar.
The event kicked off with traditional and historical events, but there's much more on the way. Free guided tours, concerts and music shows, and the President of the Republic will be honored at a ceremony at City Hall. Christine Legault, Press TV, Rome.
Well, that's all for this edition of the World News here on Press TV. Be sure to visit our website, presstv.ir, throughout the day for the latest updates.